be with you here. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter. That's the book we'll be studying these days together. And hope you'll come back tonight and every night. Those that's been with me before, I'll have a study guide, a listening guide for you tonight. We'll have some overhead and be working with that tonight. So I hope you'll be back. But this morning, we're just going to look at the central theme of 1 Peter. I appreciate Brother Booney having me this year. I've been here about through the years, about 24 different years, different times and different occasions here. And he didn't have me last year. I was here the year before. Booney was kind of in a backslidden state last year and didn't invite me. But I'm sure he has got right with the Lord and had me back this year again. That's right. Probably going to be that way next year with me saying that. Brother Boone and I have been many different situations on mission trips and things together and had a lot of good times together. And I'm glad that I'm able to be here with you, 1 Peter, on this. You look here in 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to start reading with verse 1 and 2 and then drop down to verse 12. And you follow along as I read in God's Word. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now look down to verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, as we look here at this passage, we know that 1 Peter was written by Peter, the apostle, around about 60 A.D. to a group of churches in what we call present-day Turkey, in that group of area. We'll go into that a little more detail tonight. But as he is writing to these churches, the one theme that comes over and over again in this book is that theme of suffering. There's a lot of suffering in the world today, aren't there? We've always had suffering in the world, but it just seems like today that you cannot turn on the television set, listen to a news broadcast, or read a paper, or even just talk to a neighbor or friends that someone is not suffering all of the time. We've had the storms up north that over millions without electricity and the hurt and all the suffering that they've gone through. We've had the bridge collapse in Florida and the death there. We've had the gunman go into the school and over 19 dead there. And we hear all around us this suffering and everything. And it amazes me how if you listen to the commentators on television, what their answer is. And almost every time that there's a shooting, there's always that group that's going to holler out guns and wanting to limit that and everything. Guns is not the problem, folks. I'm not saying we ought not to look at that issue and look at it, but taking away the guns is not the answer to that. And then there's another group that's going to say it's mental health. We got people just on all these drugs and all these problems, and they want to blame mental health on that. Well, we've always had people that had those issues and everything. The issue is that we live in a fallen world. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, that sin has been passed on to every mankind, and the whole world suffers for it. That's why the scripture says the earth groaneth in travail because of all this suffering on this. And so taking away and legislating this and that issue and law is not going to take the evil away from this world. we're going to have it until Jesus returns again and sets up the new order and everything. But there are some helps here in Peter that he gives to us about suffering. Now, I don't mean to have a lot of easy answers for you. I had a friend, Ron Dunn, who was a preacher, and we had him in associational meetings and things, and Ron Dunn and Kay, his wife, went away and visited some friends on Thanksgiving, and while they were gone, their 16-year-old son took his own life right there. And Ron said after that, he said, I buried all of my easy answers today. All the answers he thought he had as a minister and a preacher for all the people's problems, he had to come in the fact of his own hurt and pain that there are not any really easy answer to problems. But Peter does give us some help here about this issue of suffering. And I know some of you are suffering right now. Some of you have been told that you have that dreaded C word, cancer, in your life. Some of you right now have arthritis and you're sitting here in pain, and I appreciate you being here. Some of you have financial issues and family issues that you're hurting about. We all live in this world of suffering and pain. But Peter says here, some help for us here. And one of the things he is saying that sometimes this suffering is really undeserved. That's why he starts out in that 12th verse. He says, Beloved, think it not strange when these fiery trials come upon you. Now, why would he say that? Well, he lived and was preaching to a group of people who had this kind of mentality and theology about suffering. Let me use this illustration out of the life of our Lord. One day in John chapter 9, we're told that Jesus was walking with his disciples, and they came upon this blind man. And his disciples said to Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, the reason he's blind? You see, in Jewish theology, if something was wrong with you, if something bad happened to you, if you had some sin, it had to be either you sinned or your parents sinned. They associated all sins with problems and difficulties and suffering. And that if you weren't sinning, then you were being blessed and good things were happening to you. Now, that's not only the theology I have found of Jewish people. I found a lot of people in East Texas have that kind of theology right there. They believe that if they do good, then God ought to bless them. And if they do something bad, well, then God ought to punish you in some way. But what did Jesus say to the answer to that? He said, neither this man who was blind sinned, nor his parents sinned, but that God might be glorified. And so you see, there's sometimes things happen to us that we really don't deserve it, but God is working in and through our life to reveal himself to this lost world right here. And so every time something happens to you, don't get mad at other people. Don't get mad at yourself. Don't get mad at God. It may be that just God is wanting to work in and through your life there to use and reveal to him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what better testimony when some tragedy happens to a family or a person that is there at the funeral home, or if they're there in that occasion and people go by and they say, I don't see how you can stand this. I don't see how you can stand it. And to hear them say, well, it's only by the grace of God. God is the only way I can get through this difficulty. What a witness. What a testimony. So you don't always understand why we have to go through some things. And you want to say, well, life's not fair. Why is it that I am having to go through this, and this person over here I know is just as bad as me, and they're not suffering all? Well, sometimes we have to get over it, folks, that life is not fair. It's not fair. We live in sometimes a mentality of a world that thinks everything ought to be fair and equal. But it's not. We don't know what God's doing behind the scene. We don't know what God's doing in individual life. And so that's why Peter says, don't think it strange when these fiery trials and troubles and sufferings come to you. They're going to come. We live in this world, we don't. But another thing this text tells us, not only is some suffering not deserved, some suffering is deserved. Look at verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. In other words, when you do these kind of things, you can expect suffering. I mean, we understand that. I mean, murderer, he ought to get prison time, the death sentence there. A thief ought to be punished in all of this. We see these, when you do these things, or evil things, then you are to expect on this. My first church, I had a young teenager that was involved in a motorcycle accident. He broke his arm, his leg was all cut up, and everything was in traction in the hospital. I was just 19 years old, just a young pastor, and a pastor of my first church, and I went to visit him. When I went in that hospital room, his mother just collapsed in my arms and said over and over again, "Oh, Brother Mike, why did God do this to my boy? Oh, why did God do this to my boy?" and everything. I didn't know what to say to her. I hadn't had a pastoral ministry class, and I did not have any training in that area, and I just held her and just let her cry and everything. Finally, the boy that was over there in the bed with a broke arm and leg and all cut up, he said, "Mother, quit that. Quit that. God didn't do that to me. I was going too fast on that motorcycle and went around a curve and laid it down." And as a 19-year-old, my mind, it woke up, and I've used it many times since then. He taught me something is that what Galatians told us, whatever man sows, he's going to reap. There's just some things that happen to us that we deserve it. Now, I don't want to be unkind to you this morning or anything like that, but the reason some of the troubles you have in your life, folks, is because your old stupid decisions. You made bad choices, and you're having to suffer because of making those bad choices in life. We see this every day in life. People make bad choices, bad decisions, and they have to suffer for it. So a lot of what happens to us, we deserve it on this. That doesn't mean that God cannot forgive you, cannot help you overcome it, but he might not just take away everything that you've done. You may have to suffer for a while. Now, I want you to notice something else before I leave this text. In this same group that Peter's talking about, don't let you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer. Did you catch what he added there to the church? Those old busybodies. Now, I know the love offering's going to go down, what I'm about to say right now. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. But there's a lot of suffering and pain that happens in the church because of old busybodies. Don't be guilty of a busybody. You don't have to know what's going on of everything in the church. You don't have to know what's happening in everyone's life in the church. You know, you don't have to. Sometimes you just need to mind your own business and stay out of other people's business. You know, in Baptist churches, I've been since I was 19 around Baptist churches and preaching and being a missionary and serving in all different capacities and everything. Some of the sweetest, precious people on the face of this earth are in Baptist churches. I just love Baptist churches. I love to go around and fellowship and being teaching and preaching like this and eating and fellowshipping with them. They're just great people. Some of the most precious friends I have are in Baptist churches. But I won't be honest with you. Some of the meanest, cantankerous, ugliest people on the face of the earth are in Baptist churches. Why God leaves them there, I don't know. I prayed for him to take them out many times, and he hadn't done it. Just people who are old busybodies that get into other people's lives and affairs. Don't be guilty of that. Because there's a lot of the suffering we have to go through because we do deserve it. Now, what does he help us here? How do we deal with this suffering? Well, in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4, he tells us, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." So how do you deal with suffering? He tells us, arm yourself. Arm with what? With the Word of God. The best thing to overcome any attack of Satan, any trial, any suffering, is to know this book right here. That's why you need to get into it. You ought to have a time every day of reading it, memorizing it, praying over it, praying through it, because there's no better weapon to arm yourself with We don't fight and struggle against flesh and blood. We have enemy out there that's Satan, principalities of the air, evil, darkness all around us. And our best answer is to be equipped with the Word of God. That's what our Lord did. He was our example. When he was here and he was attacked by Satan, it was always, "It is written. It is written." And that's the same way in your life. When trouble comes your way and you'll want to wring your hands and you'll want to just have a pity party and pull the sheets up over you and get depressed, or you'll want to start blaming other people. No, if you'll just go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God and equip yourself in the Word of God. That's what he talks about. That's one way of arming yourselves. Another way of arming yourselves is coming to church like this. Worship. We need one another in a church like this. You don't know what you have if you're part of this family of fellowship right here. If you're just visiting today and thinking about a church, you need to join this church right here. These people love each other, care about each other. You have a staff that will visit you and care for you when you're in the hospital, when you're going through a crisis or suffering. You have a Sunday school class you ought to be a part of that will surround you there when you have trouble, difficulty. You know, it's those people who just try to make it on their own, live life alone, don't have friends, don't have a church family, that I see that the world just caves in on, and they can't handle the suffering of life. Another place in Peter talks about how the devil is like a lion, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Over in Africa, do you know who the lions go after? They go after those lone animals, those warthogs that travel just by themselves. They're easy preys when they're out there by themselves, and the lions can get that prey right there. The lions rarely ever go after a pack like a zebras or other animals that travel in pack. What I'm saying is, you don't try to go it alone in this world. Join a Sunday school class. Join this church. Be a part of somebody that can surround you with love and care. For 14 years when I was in Jacksonville the other time, every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, you could find me at the Dairy Queen on Highway 79. I was in a little corner booth, and I was surrounded by some preachers there. We met together for 14 years every week. One reason we met at the Dairy Queen, it was a cheap breakfast back then. For 99 cents, you could get biscuits and gravy and a cup of coffee, all that. It's one reason. Another reason is we needed one another. We needed to study the Word of God together and pray together. And when you've done that for 14 years, when one of those pastors would walk into the room or I'd walk into the room, you could tell on the countenance of their face whether or not they were hurting and needed encouragement or needed prayer. That's the value of being a part of a church like this. You're surrounded by people who are going to look at you and greet you every week, and they can tell whether or not you need that encouragement or you need to get along with them and have special prayer. So I encourage you this morning, if you're not a part of this fellowship, think about you moving your membership here. They'll help you, whatever it takes to do that. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then arm yourself with Him. Invite Him to come into your life today. He died on the cross for your sins. Regardless of what your past has been like, you can come to Him today, and Brother Booney will help you, and you can have Christ who will come and live in your life. That's what it means to arm yourself from that. Then it says, have that mind of Christ. What would Jesus do? Going back to the Word again. Every issue of life, we sometimes seek help in all different directions. And we live in a very confused world. This person will tell you this is what you ought to do. This person will tell you what you ought to do. What you need to do is get along with God in prayer and the Word and get the mind of God. He is not going to have everyone do and respond to suffering the same way every time. He may have you respond in a different way. But the choice is yours. I've noticed every time when people have troubles and difficulties, they either get closer to God or they run away from God. That choice is yours. The line is almost drawn in sand every time. With every individual I've had and known who's gone through difficulties personally, I just watched and observed them. Even people who's been in church for years, Sometimes something can happen and they just get very angry and bitter and run away from God instead of getting closer. That choice is yours every time, which way to go. Get closer to Him or run away from Him on this. Yesterday, there's a new movie out. I hardly ever advertise movies, don't promote them. When they're a Christian movie, I love to promote it and to show Hollywood that there'll be more people attend that. But I Can Only Imagine came out yesterday, and I went to see that, Susan and I, with some friends. It's a great story about Mercy Me, the singers, and Bart Millard, and how he wrote that song, and how it's become one of the greatest songs ever written and everything. And there was that time in his life, after all kinds of abuse and troubles and everything, that he got away from God, but then God brought him back and everything. And I don't mean to minimize any troubles and anything. And sometimes you can get angry and you can hurt and pain is real. And you'll just want to say, well, where is God? He's where He's always been. He never changes. He never moves. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes He just has you wait on Him. And to that moment that He'll come in and respond and give you what you need for that moment. That's faith and that's trust. How are you ever going to grow in faith if you don't just wait on God and let Him move in your life? Let Him give you, where it be that physical release of pain, or where it be that emotional release of pain, or where it be that financial need or that need in your marriage or whatever it might be. That choice is yours. Are you going to embrace God and say, God, I love you and I need you, and the only way I can make it through this is by your grace? Are you going to get bitter and push Him away and hold Him back? That choice is yours. In just a moment, I'm going to ask your pastor to stand down front here. We're going to have what we call in our churches a hymn of invitation or response. And that really is your choice this morning. You can embrace God. I believe in God. I believe that He came to this earth and He died on that cross for my sins. And you can embrace Him by coming and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or you can say, no, I just don't know. And you can push Him back and walk out of here. Maybe you're here and you're hurting. You're suffering this morning. You're going through some trial. You just need to come around the altar and you need your pastor to pray for you. Could be that you're here and you've been thinking about moving your membership into this church. What better time to unite with a church, family, and to be a part of a fellowship that's going to pray for you and care for you on this. This is God's family right here. They'll embrace you as well as God will embrace you. I don't know what you're going through, but you let God speak to you in this next few moments right here. We'll not prolong it, but you listen to that voice of God. Is that still small voice pulling within you? If you know there's something you need to respond to today, is there some help you need or some prayer, someone to pray with you, this group of people will do it. I invite you to stand, you would, at this time. Brother Teddy, if you'll come to lead us. Brother Booney, if you'll be down front. He's going to lead us in this hymn of response right here after I've had a word of prayer. Don't wait on anyone else. You just come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me today. I don't understand, but there's just some things going on in my life. I need you to pray for me. Pastor, I need to move our membership in here. We've been visiting a while. Now it's time we're part of this fellowship. Could be that you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to embrace Him today. All that He's done for you, He's done all that's necessary. You come to Him today. Father, we bow before You right now. We just ask that Your Holy Spirit work in every heart and every life. You know those that need to respond today. Lord, we just take our hands off this invitation. You do what work You need to do today, Father, here. We'll give You the honor and glory and praise. Father, those who are hurting, we pray for them that they'll embrace You and come to You today. Father, that they'll grow stronger in their faith and their walk with You with whatever they're going through right now. Whatever pain that they're feeling, Lord, pray that, Father, through that they'll honor You, glorify Your name. So we give You this invitation, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.